broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day. We have the trades back. It's going to be a great weekend. The winds 15 to 20, higher gusts at times, high 84 to 89, a locally breezy at times, mostly sunny though. Isolated showers on the leeward side, a few more showers on the windward and over the Mauka areas. That's the mountains. I want to first off say a huge congratulations and thank you to Mark and Debbie Rolfing, honored as the PGA of America's first co-recipients of the PGA Distinguished Service Award at the PGA's annual meeting in Austin, Texas. Their shared passion for growth of the game initiatives served as a platform to establish one of the country's most inspiring foster parent networks. In 1990, the Mark and Debbie Rolfing Charitable Foundation began with the aim of bettering the lives of high-risk, underserved children in need. In addition to supporting numerous other children's charities, the Rolfings have been licensed foster parents for 18 years. Thank you so very, very much for all you have done and all you do. Looking forward to talking with Mark Rolfing next Saturday. We're going to talk with Ken Green. Yes, five-time PGA Tour champion and author. Soon in 2018, I'll Try Again Tomorrow is the name of his book that's coming out. Ken Green, after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Allen Nakata & Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Allen Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
First off, I want to just give you a little bit of background about Ken Green. The five-time PGA Tour winner was traveling between Champions Tour events on June 8th of 2009 when his RV blew a tire, causing a horrific accident. He not only lost his brother Bill, who died in the accident, his partner in life, Gene Hodgen, also died, and his beloved German Shepherd, Nip. He also suffered terrible injuries. He had his right leg amputated below the knee 3 days later. And he's been courageously forging a comeback ever since. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ken Green. So good to have you on the show.
Hey, Danielle. How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. And I follow Ken Green on Twitter. It's Ken Green Golf. You are so much fun. Online, and I know we've talked before, and you had some serious issues with pain from the amputated part of your leg that wasn't there anymore but still caused you significant pain and the ups and downs of recovery. How are you doing now?
Well, we're doing better than it was, but we're still fighting a lot of nerve damage. For whatever reason, my nerves are overactive, so they have a tendency to work too much, and when nerves work too much, they have a tendency to give you a sensation of, people that are as old as me, the finger in the socket, you know, that zapping, bolting.
Yes.
That's what my leg likes to do to me, and just kind of warns me who the boss is.
Yeah, you will only do so much, and you will rest, and you will... What keeps you going, though? I mean, a lot of people succumb to these injuries that you've suffered. You keep going, you keep forging, you have a new wonderful dog in your life, Munch. What is your passion? What keeps you moving?
You know, I try to wonder, you know, because after the accident and everything else happened. About 5 months later, I lost my son. And you know, that was like, oh, are you really going to do what you said you're going to do? So you have a choice. I mean, you either give up and surrender or you keep fighting. And, you know, I know it's hard. Some people, you know, it's hard when you lose people you love and you can't do what you used to be able to do. And you wonder, you know, how are you going to survive? But it's like, I don't know if it's just the fact that I'm so competitive or the fact that I went through a depression once and you know, didn't want to go through that again. And, you know, that may have helped me when, you know, this really bad stuff happened. You know, if I had the perfect answer, I would certainly give it to you. But I just refuse to give up. I mean, it's like it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or whether you're an atheist. If you're an atheist, you got screwed, you know, and you got to decide, well, am I just going to live whatever time I have left or am I going to drink myself to death? And if you believe in the big guy, you just got to have faith that it does. So, I mean, either way, you got to keep moving. It serves no purpose to just sit there and die.
Yeah. And to basically give up and just wait for the end. I have to believe that the book you're writing, I'll Try Again Tomorrow, kind of sums it up. Where did that title come from?
Well, you know, we keep going back and forth here and there, you know, because whether I like it or not, I've had a massive amount of things happen in my life, and there's some that they're going to come out that you know, people don't know about. And you know, but I've also had a lot of success. You know, I mean, obviously, I, you know, was pretty high up there in the golf world at one time, and so it's like, you know, you got to go out and you got to tell the story. So it's a combination of how you can get through life and get by, and then it's also the stories and you know, the wacky things that I've done in my life, because you know, I am who I am, and I'm not the normal PGA golfer.
I think one person summed it up this way when they described Ken Green, a five-time PGA Tour winner, as, you know, some people are one way in front of the cameras and some people are one way off the camera. And that Ken Green is who Ken Green is. You see him on camera the same as you see him off camera. You've been an emotional, kind of expressive, if that's a better word to describe your personality. You don't hold back.
Well, I mean, let's think about it for a minute. What's the point? Everyone tries to play the game. And it's like, what does that really accomplish? You know, some people say, well, you know, you can't say this because you hurt this person's feelings. You hurt that person's feelings. It's like, you know, I never try to hurt anyone's feelings. If they ask me a question, I'm going to give them the answer. You know, if you don't want to get your feelings hurt, don't ask the damn question.
had a huge honor just recently, early in October. Hall of Fame now inductee, Fairfield County Sports Commission inducted you into the Hall of Fame there?
Yeah, I mean, it's an honor to be recognized in, you know, my home state, you know, where I grew up in Connecticut. And you know, to be recognized, you know, well past your, quote, prime means that some people are still thinking that about you, and they, you know, they look back at your career and go, you know, he really didn't play all that bad. You know, that we played in an era where, you know, nobody could dominate because they're quite honestly, there was just too many good golfers at that time. You know, whereas, you know, now there's a handful of great golfers, but not enough really, really good ones. And, you know, that's the nature of golf. It comes and it goes, and, you know, it just, you have ups and downs of golf. That's how it works.
I'm going to go to your Twitter feed and ask you to comment on one statement you made. And there are several that I picked out. Today's golfers are not better athletes. Took more hand-eye coordination with old equipment. So some people do say, you know, everybody's in the gym now and they're working out and, you know, you don't see the big bellies anymore and they're all tight and just, you know, honed bodies. And you're saying that today's golfers aren't better than your, let's say, 30 years ago?
No, to be quite honestly, they're not. In general, you know, Dustin Johnson is obviously a really good athlete, and many of the other guys are, but it takes less hand-eye coordination to play professional golf now than it took in my era even more hand-eye coordination when Jack was in his prime, or Hogan and those guys. People seem to forget about how hard it was to play golf with the equipment. Whereas today's game is just, it's basically similar to baseball, where it's just swing as hard as you can and go. Swing as hard as you can and go. And, you know, it just doesn't, anyone can work out. The most uncoordinated person on the planet can look like Hercules. It doesn't mean that he can throw the javelin or whatever Hercules did. But, you know, I would put my generation of golfers up against any sport in all-around athleticism. Golfers can go to all their sports and not embarrass themselves. Whereas you can take other great athletes from other sports and go to other sports that they're not used to playing and look like complete morons. I don't know if you've ever seen Charles Barkley play golf.
Yes, I have.
But how can this guy be the top 50 at basketball is beyond comprehension. You know, it's just like, wow, shouldn't you be able to do it all if you're a top 50 something? I mean, it just, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think it has to do with thinking. You know, there's something about being in motion in basketball, being in motion in football, but when you're there's golf, and it's not a reactive, it's an act, you have to create it. But I want to go back to the equipment. I think the Big Bertha changed everything. And basically what today the guys are playing with are Big Berthas.
Oh, I know I sound like some bitter old man that you know, a 25-year-old who's listening might go, oh, just shut up. But I'm telling you, they have no idea. The idea that guys are potentially – Bernard Langer is better now than he's ever been. And you don't get better when you're in your 50s at anything. I mean, and that includes sex. You don't get better. And it's all because of technology. I mean, it just – you know, it is what it is, and people just don't want to seem to admit it. I mean, it's just the way life is, and we, you know, God only knows what will happen in, you know, 20 or 30 years from now if the USGA and the RNA don't get their act together. You know, golf is turning back into a elite sport, whereas, you know, they're losing golfers every year in the hundreds of thousands. 20 years from now, We're gonna be losing half of our golf courses, and only, you know, the upper hand are gonna be playing.
Okay, I'm hearing a statement that Tiger Woods made yesterday on a podcast when he was asked, should anything be changed about the equipment in this game? And he said, the ball. They need to roll back the ball. Are you thinking that?
Well, I mean, the problem with that is, are the golf companies gonna go along with it? You know, or are we going to finally have two different rules for pros and amateurs, which I've always been an advocate of. And I'll even accept the ball going farther. I want the ball that goes hard left and hard right back, the snap, the ball that snaps fast because you swung too hard and weren't quite in timing it right. I promise you, today's players don't have the fear of God because they don't know what a true snap hook is. And you just... it's not that we couldn't swing that hard back then. It's the fact that you couldn't play professional golf if you swung that hard. And, you know, now you can. But so we bring that left and right miss where, you know, you pay dearly for a miss hit, whereas now the ball straightens out. I mean, you know, your viewers will understand. You know, the ball starts out hanging right or hanging left, and then it just kind of stays there. I mean, it just... you know, you go back to the Bellotta ball or the ball that those four guys played in the 50s. I mean, those guys were studs. And it's a shame if people don't recognize how good they were.
So let's go back to the equipment. And we were talking about equipment, and you said we're losing people in this game. They've got to do something about it. Do you think it's the equipment? Or, I mean, they've made it so much easier to play, and yet we're losing people. What do you think it is?
Because of the equipment. You know, but I think technology has... and partly ruined golf because of the computer world. I believe today's kids are so engrossed on the iPads and the computers and the games that, you know, they're used to beating up a game in a week or so, and then the next war game comes on. So golf's going to own you for life, and you'll have a few stretches here and there where you're God, But for the most part, it's just going to slap you around. And today's mentality is such that they can't handle that. And then another potential issue besides the cost is that everything is one sport only now, where, you know, for whatever reason, they're making these 12-year-olds play baseball 4 or 5 times a week, you know, or football or soccer, instead of just letting them, you know, be well-rounded. And this goes back to my belief that we have less coordinated athletes today than more rounded athletes of yesteryear, because people played 3 or 4 sports, you know, in those days.
In those days, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Karen Krause, New York Times columnist, wrote a great book called Norwich, and it's about a little town in Connecticut. You're a part of the world where there are more Olympians from per capita than any other place in the United States. And in Norwich, it's all about everybody playing lots of different sports. And out of that comes great athletes who then are passionate about and great out one, and they go to the Olympics. It's not the pinnacle of their lives. It just happens to be one of the byproducts of the fun they're having and the sports they're playing.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's just, I don't understand why we're turning sports into work for 8, 10, 12, 14-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I mean, think about it. You know, go to the game of golf. The girls, because of certain maturity levels and not becoming physically strong enough yet, because males, you know, we get stronger as we age, they're ready to play professional golf at 17, and they're letting them. And it's like, wow, where's the time to have fun? I mean, there's plenty of time to play professional golf if you're that good. Go play golf and have fun. And we just don't allow it anymore.
Can I ask you, let's speaking of girls and sports, Emily Nash. Emily Nash, if you don't know, she competed against the boys because she had to. She didn't have a girls team to compete against girls, so she competed against the boys. She won, but she wasn't able to go on. They actually told her that she wouldn't be able to go on to the division. Was it going to states from the division? She couldn't, and she knew that. But she didn't know that she wasn't going to be able to win the tournament if she actually had the best score. Is that still percolating in Massachusetts? Do you know?
I don't know if it is as much as it first started, and it really is a disgrace. And it really defies logic. Massachusetts is kind of as far left as you can get when it comes to the political world.
Yes.
So how in the world would they allow this to happen is kind of baffling. But, you know, if you're good enough and you play from the same tees and everything, and you win, you win. Simple as that. Whether you have one leg or whether you have two boobs, or bigger boobs. You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Ken Green, he is Ken Green Golf on Twitter, and Ken Green is a 5-time PGA Tour champion. He's won 11 times, Champions Tour player, an amputee in a terrible accident. He not only lost the love of his life, but also his brother and his dog, a German Shepherd, Nip. And now we have Munch. Munch is a gorgeous animal. Does Munch travel everywhere with you?
He is with me everywhere I go. He's. I'll tell you a fast story about how I ended up getting Munch. A man I played with in the Pro-Am in Dallas, Texas in 1990 got a hold of me right after the accident. And he said, listen, Ken, I just, you know, I play a Pro-Am every year, and you're still my favorite pro to play with. My breeder is getting ready to have some pups, and I'm a German Shepherd person too, and I would love to gift you one. So that's how I ended up getting him, and his name was Bob Muncher. So I thought I should try to name him, you know, give the man credit for giving me a nice dog, and that's how I came up with the name Munch. And 2 weeks later, I found out his name was Munger.
Oh,
not Munster. It was Munger, but I love the name Munch, so I kept it.
I think Munch is perfect. Munch is perfect, and Munch is absolutely gorgeous. So here's another tweet from Ken Green on Twitter. Spieth Coke commercial in RV. I've been doing for real in my house and RV for 30 years. The ultimate major is the Nip Open at my home. Now, Nip is the German Shepherd you lost. Tell us a little bit about the Nip Open.
Well, you know, I have been playing these Nip Opens for literally since I was 15 years old. And basically, the big U.S. Open of Nip Opens is at my house every year. And I design usually about 11 or 12 holes, and we play them twice. And literally, I go through the house, around the house, I'm over the house. I just mix it up. And I've had a really bad stretch the last couple of years. A lot of windows went down. But I just had them all replaced. I had six windows, finally, that had to get, you know, repaired. But the good news is I had hurricane windows put in, so they should be safe.
Are you going to call it, it's going to be forever the Nip Open, right?
Will always be the Nip Open.
It will always be the Nip Open. And now I have to ask you, talk about athletes and amputee. How do you keep yourself? I know you're still playing. You're still qualifying. You're still on the Champions Tour. You're still working towards the next event.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm working. I mean, I'd love to say I am, but you know, one of the problems I have is the more I do something, the more pain I have. So I have to kind of pace myself. You know, I would love to play a few more events, but it just hasn't. You know, the really strange thing is I just have not been able to get exemptions. And my only goal is to play every event once. Where, you know, there's tons of people that don't know Ken Green, much less the Ken Green story. You know, so I would love to. You know, obviously when I am in an event, I'm getting, you know, mega coverage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm willing to go to hospitals and talk to people and pretty much do whatever I can do that will help people, you know, get out of the hole that they're in or, you know, recover from, you know, an accident or just, you know, from life in itself. But for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out real well. And till I die, I will not understand why I've only gotten one exemption. I mean, this is the Champions Tour. We've got to be serious here. Not a whole lot of people tune in to, you know, no one ever asks you, hey, how many Champions Tour victories have you won? They always ask you how many tournaments you won. They, you know, and I know that tour players don't like to hear that because to them it is very competitive and they're grinding their tails off and they're trying as hard as they can and they play really good golf. But in reality, you're looking at 1% of golfers that probably even care. So it's like, why wouldn't Ken Green get an exemption?
You definitely have a story that's compelling, and you've overcome tragedies and adversity in a very fine way with a smile still in your voice and a love for the game in your heart. And the fact that you do the Nip Open at your home, that's awesome. I mean, when you think of this, the Spieth Coke commercial
it is kind of classic.
It's classic.
I saw that and I'm like, oh, I've been living that for
right.
Years.
Right, making all kinds of targets, if you will.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's absolutely perfect. Now, Tiger Woods said he's finally getting his golf legs back. And, you know, the golf shoes don't feel uncomfortable like they did. And he's getting his, you know, it must be rough. Do you walk the course when you play?
No, I can't. I can only walk for a certain amount of time before the nerves start going haywire.
Yeah.
Now, again, but I'm not like most amputees. Most amputees, even though they have a hard time walking because of all the damage it'll do to the stump, you know, they don't have the nerve damage that I do. And I try to keep my walking to a minimum. I go to the bathroom and the couch and then the golf course.
Gotcha. Well, I'm certainly hoping and praying and sending great thoughts out to you and all those people out there who could give you an exemption so you can play on all of the Champions Tour events, one at a time, one or two a year at a time, as you can. That would be fabulous because I always enjoy talking with you, and I can't wait for your book to come out. Ken Green, 5-time PGA Tour winner, 11-time winner on the tours, and soon author. He's putting it together. So far, the name of the book is I'll Try Again Tomorrow. Thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure. It was good talking to you again.
Aloha, Ken. We're going to come back and take a trip with Diana DeLucia. She seems to be nonstop. She's putting Golf Kitchen Americas together. And guess what? Kohana Iki is going to be featured. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call. After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Would you like to play a round of golf? There's an 850 at Volcano. There's a 924 at Makalei. Poipu Bay, the Kingston Software Group going out. 60 strong. And then 30 are going to play another 18. That's what I call golf. Yes, if you'd like to play a round of golf at Poipu Bay, there's an 1120 and a 1240 as well. Kapolei has an 1152 and a 12 o'clock. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, beautiful golf course, and so is Kapolei. 9:36 at Royal Hawaiian and a 10:20. Makaha East has a 10:30. Kahili on Maui, that's the home of Claude Brousseau, who is on his way to Orlando, Florida, and he will be on Golf Channel's Morning Drive and Golf Fix coming up November 8th and 9th. So be sure to get your DVR and DVR Morning Drive on Golf Channel and check out Claude Brousseau. You know, he's got his book out now. Claude's book is called, it's right here in my hands, Realize Your Golfing Potential. Unlock the secrets of a proficient short game. All right, into the clubhouse she comes after spending some days at Boca West. Diana DeLucia, CEO Golf Kitchen. How's it?
How are you?
I'm Danielle. Excellent. Excellent. It's a beautiful day in Hawaii. We've got our trade winds back. We couldn't be happier. Just back from Boca West, a residential golf community, really high end. it must have been wonderful staying there.
Oh, it was absolutely delightful. I had a great time. I missed it already.
But Diana DeLucia's, her book is Golf Kitchen, and it features the chef in some of these fabulous places. Let me give you an idea. The Golf du Palais Royal and Gold de l'Ocean, Morocco. Old Waverly Golf Club, Mississippi. Kingston Heath Golf Club, Australia. Valderrama in Spain. Sabonic, New York. The Greenbrier in West Virginia. Emirates Golf Club. That was all in her first book, Golf Kitchen. And that's available at golfkitchen.com. Now she has Golf Kitchen Magazine, a quarterly magazine that's coming out, and I can't wait to get mine. Haven't gotten my copy yet. It's in the mail. I know it's coming soon. And then we've got the winter issue coming up with, that's already ready to go, right? I mean, are you still working on that?
Oh, goodness. Yes, we're definitely still working on that. We've got another month to go before we send that off. It's looking great, though. A lot of great stories in there.
I bet. And you're working on one that's going to be going into Golf Kitchen, the winter issue with Gary Player on the cover. You're going to be going into, first off, Punta Mita, right? The flavors of Punta Mita, 4 or 5 local chef will be featured in the Golf Kitchen winter issue with Gary Player on the cover?
I'm traveling to Punta Mita, to the flavors of Punta Mita, which is at the Kapuri Beach Club in Punta Mita, which is a part of their premier golf community and residential community, I should say. And I'm really excited because I met the group that is taking care of Punta Mita through Kohana Iki, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to be introduced to Mexico and the chefs and golf in Mexico and covering them for Golf Kitchen magazine. I'm so excited, in fact, that we've decided that we're going to have a special edition in 2018, focusing just on Mexico, and that magazine will be Golf Kitchen Mexico.
That's a special edition.
I'm looking forward to that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. In 2018, Golf Kitchen Mexico. So Punta Mita, flavors of Punta Mita will be in the winter issue, though. You're going to, when you go coming up in the next few days, when do you travel?
I'm traveling on the 18th of this month, which is what, next week or the week after, and I'm going to be featuring probably a 6 to 8 page story on the chefs in that region and the taste of that region. I think there will be some great recipes in that, and that's definitely going to be in the Gary Player issue in winter.
Excellent. And I was looking at it. I went online because I don't know Punta Mita, and if you just Google it, if there's a Four Seasons with the Punta Mita Pacific Golf Course designed by Jack Nicklaus, and on this course there is the world's only natural island green, and they call it the Tail of the Whale. It's a par 3. It looks absolutely fabulous. Not sure that I'd be able to hit it, though. This is really exciting. So you've got Punta Mita, and then you're coming to, well, actually, I think you're going to Toscana Country Club, Indian Wells near Palm Springs, before you come to Kohana Iki. You're a world traveler.
I'm excited about that because I really wanted to add some California clubs to Golf Kitchen, and this will be the first one. And it's Toscana, which is a lovely place, I heard. It's meant to be really, really nice. And I'm interviewing Chef Eric Woodland, and they tell me that the spa there is fantastic. It's meant to be a one-of-a-kind spa, and we're going to be interviewing Jennifer DiFrancesco. She's the spa director, and I'm really looking forward to that.
So there's also the fitness aspect at Golf Kitchen Magazine, in addition to, of course, great recipes and the features. Some of the chef write the stories that are in Golf Kitchen Magazine, the chef that you meet. And then after Toscana Country Club, Indian Wells, near Palm Springs, and the stories about the spa director. By the way, Toscana has a Jack Nicklaus golf course as well, and the Bill Harmon Performance Center. So I would love to go there and enjoy their cuisine and the golf course and the Bill Harmon Performance Center and get my game on. Then you're coming to Hawaii in December to Kohana Iki on the Big Island. And will Kohana Iki be featured in the magazine?
Kohana Iki chef Patrick Heyman will be featured, and I'm very interested in working with Patrick. He's worked with a lot of celebrity chefs in the past, and they all speak really highly of him. One in particular, Ming Tsai, who frequents Kohana Iki. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. I was practicing before the show. But I've heard he is a spectacular chef, and I'm really looking forward to featuring his cuisine and hearing about his background.
So the next Golf Kitchen book will be Golf Kitchen Americas?
Yeah, we decided to make it Americas because I want to feature Mexico in there, and I also would like to feature Canada. You know, it's really all of North America and the Americas. I think that makes a lot more sense.
Yes, it would be fun, too, to, you know, have a little. I always think about the different beef that some of the chef like to use in their recipes. And the Argentinians are known for their beef farms. And so that would be interesting to be able to incorporate the South America in Golf Kitchen Americas. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful idea. So we've got Golf Kitchen Mexico, a special edition of the magazine. Are you following all this? We've got the winter issue with Gary Player on the cover coming out, featuring Punta Mita, flavors of Punta Mita, and great news. I'm sure, you know, if you listen to the show, you heard my interview with Jose Carle in Puerto Rico at Royal Isabella. And he and his daughters and his wife living there at Royal Isabella. And Jose would talk to us on the show about when he goes to the garden, he collects the vegetables that are ripe and ready that day so he can prepare the menu for the evening at in the restaurant. He would go fishing. He loves to fish, and he would take his boat, and he would go out in the water, and whatever the catch was that day, that would be incorporated in the menu with the vegetables and the things that were ripe and ready, what God gave him. Is how he put it when he was on the show with me. So when Maria came through Puerto Rico and devastated, destroyed the island, Puerto Rico and Royal Isabella wiped out. I know Diana DeLucia, CEO of Golf Kitchen, felt very strongly about Jose Carle, who'd become a friend. Diana, what did you do?
Well, I particularly deeply care for Stanley and Charlie Passerell and the entire Royal Isabella family. As you know, I met them in 2012 because I was featuring them in the first book I wrote, Golf Club World, Behind the Gates. And I've stayed in touch with Jose ever since and the family. And Jose's children, daughter, Valentina, had undergone some serious cancer issues that they've had to overcome in the last few years. And now that she's recovered from that, then this Maria comes through and, you know, wipes out the whole place. So when we were trying to find Jose, nobody could find him, and we were trying to get in touch with them. But as soon as Jose got in touch with me, and it's funny because it was when I was at the Gary Player Invitational that he called me and told me what was going on, and I just went, I've got to do something about this. I know all of these chefs through Golf Kitchen. Let's send out an email and see if someone can, you know, give him a job at least for a year until the club hopefully gets up and running. And lo and behold, Doug Blair from Kiwa Island Club and at Cacique down there has already took about maybe 5 minutes to say, I'm taking him, Diana. He made the arrangements, and Jose and his wife and children and are now down at Kiwa Island Club. The lucky Cacique now has, and Doug Blair have the amazing Jose Carle on the property. So the members and guests are going to love that.
That's wonderful. That is, I mean, that's a beautiful story. It came out of a community of chefs, the love and the working relationship that these men and women have in the industry. It's a blessing because they've really brought, you know, when I talk about the fresh vegetables and we talk about the catch of the day, yes, but I mean, truly bringing all together what's right in your home, what's right around you. And I know Patrick at Kohana Iki does that, you know, making sure that what is growing now is what's part of the menu. And that's really come to fore in the last 10 years. And it's because of the work that the chef do that they're taking the time to teach us as well. You know, there's so many chefs who are teaching us how to take care of ourselves and bring color back into the food that we eat. And that's it's so important to see how beautiful, what a beautiful story. Jose Carle now with Doug Blair, executive chef, Kiowa Island Club and Cacique. And that's cool. And did you say that Doug Blair is going to write the story for your spring issue?
He is. He'll be working on it in December. They'll be working on it together. And I should have that content. He told me to give him a deadline of mid-December, although I'm not good at keeping my deadlines, I must say.
So the first issue of Golf Kitchen went out. So the first issue, right? It's in the mail.
Yes. Yeah, we had a terrible time. Like we had a test print, and we had to check the paper and the stock and all of this, and then we made some changes, and then finally, you'll notice the test print came in a week or so ago, and now the final copy is finally going out.
So
that should start arriving in the next 7 days for people. Now a month behind.
That's okay. You know, that you wanted to get it right, and you got it right. This is the inaugural Golf Kitchen magazine. The next issue has Gary Player. That's the winter issue. So if you would like to get your copy of Golf Kitchen magazine, or if you would like to subscribe for a friend and make that a holiday gift that keeps giving all year long. That's the beauty of this, right? You can buy the subscription for a friend, and every quarter, this fabulous magazine is going to come into their home and take them around the world. Punta Mita. Okay, all these upscale resorts you're going to go to. There's Golf Kitchen Mexico, a special edition coming out in 2018. You'll go to Toscana Country Club. You'll go to Kohana Iki. All of these are going to be incorporated into Golf Kitchen magazine. And of course, Golf Kitchen Americas is a beautiful coffee table book, and you can get the original Golf Kitchen all at golfkitchen.com. Exquisite talking with you. Did I leave anything out that you wanted to mention?
Actually, you know what I wanted to mention? That it was great that Jose Carle, I think Kiowa Island Club and Kiowa Island is perfect for him because he needs to go fishing.
Yes, his heart is really, he didn't know that he was a fisherman, you know, and then all of a sudden he discovered this passion, and he gets to do it all. And
it's
wonderful. It's absolutely fabulous. And your passion, Diana DeLucia is an award-winning food photographer, and her passion from food photography, then she made the book, Behind the Gates, Golf World, Behind the Gates. And then she decided that we need to focus on the chef and the chef that are in all of these fabulous country clubs and what they do and the people they are and the outreach that they have. And so I really appreciate your time, Diana. We'll catch up again. I know my magazine is about my hands, too.
I wanted to say one other thing, and I promised you I wasn't going to interrupt, too. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with you when I'm on the Big Island, and I hope that we can catch up and maybe I can turn the tables and interview you.
Oh, dear. I'll turn 14 shades of red right now. Diana, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for taking us around the world with you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Aloha.
Aloha. Diana DeLucia, always good talking with her, CEO of Golf Kitchen and Golf Kitchen Magazine. Next, into the clubhouse, David Smallwood, Director of Agronomy at the Plantation Course, home of the Century Tournament of Champions. Do you know that's like 60 days away? It's around the corner. It's in January, and it's November 4th. Wow. We need marshals. We need drivers. You don't need to have a car. You just have to be a driver, you know, and get in touch with them over at Kapalua. All right. We're going to come back with David Smallwood right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the finest homes in Hawaii have in common? Many of them. trusted Rainer Hawaii Overhead Doors to provide a truly unique garage door on their home. Call Rainer today and beautify your home with a striking aluminum and glass door that will make your home stand out. Or choose a custom wood design that will be only yours. You have seen our beautiful doors on your neighbors' homes. Get a Rainer door of your own. Call 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
I did say that we need volunteers for the Century Tournament of Champions. And we need volunteers, drivers, we need marshals, and you could, you know, I could say go to pgatour.com/tournament-of-champions.html. And you might forget all of that, right? So all you got to do is put in Google, or even in, you know, when you look in your search, just Century Tournament of Champions, and boom, all that will come up, and it'll say tickets, tournament info, plan your visit, history of the tournament, volunteer. Then you go click on volunteer, you know, and you'll find out all the people who are going. And we have the most amazing, truly, a really amazing Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin, you know, I mean, everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to be there, and it's going to be quite the shootout, and I'm really looking forward to it. Justin Rose just won and qualified, and he's about to win another tournament, but that's on the European Tour. All the winners of the PGA Tour come to Maui for the Century Tournament of Champions on the Plantation Course. Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous Crenshaw and Core design. And you know who takes care of it? The one and only David Smallwood, the director of agronomy at the Kapalua Golf Resort, home of the Century Tournament of Champions. Welcome into the clubhouse, David.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. And was Ben Crenshaw on property just recently, kind of strolling, taking you for a walk?
We actually had Bill Core on property, who is the designer along with Ben Crenshaw. And we just looked at the property and the design characteristics of it, what he wants the golf course to play like. And those things were great. We talked a little bit about a possible renovation coming up in the next couple of years. But it's always good to have the architect on property with you.
Kind of like fluff it up? Is that what the renovation would do?
It would. It's a old hotel carpet. You got to replace it at some point and get new carpet in there. And we're coming up on 30 years with the golf course, so we're getting close to it being time.
Yeah. As a director of agronomy, tell us what happens with the soil after 30 years. What would you want to do?
Well, it's more refreshing bunkers, replacing the sand in the bunkers. Greens have a tendency to get contaminated over time with off types of like Bermuda grass. So those are the types of things that we would look at for the renovation. And, of course, the players hit the ball so far now, we would probably try to stretch it out a little bit longer as well.
Wait a minute. The 18, how long is the 18? 560 yards?
It's about 560 yards from the pro tee. That's correct.
Got to stretch it out. You know, Tiger Woods said that, and Jack Nicklaus says we need to roll back the ball. As the director of agronomy, as a man who takes care of golf courses, wondering where you're going to find more length, what do you think?
You know, if you're talking about a property like a plantation course, we obviously have a lot of land, and we have the ability to move some tees back and stretch it out a bit more. When you're talking about a smaller, compact golf course like a Marion, you really don't have that ability. So I agree that there needs to be some type of maybe roll back on the ball and how far it's going now.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. Someone suggested maybe the PGA Tour, Champions Tour, Web.com Tour guys would. But then, then everybody says, okay, where's the cutoff, you know?
That's right.
Is it all professionals, you know? Do they all have to play with a different ball? But then you don't want to take it away from the amateurs because, you know, or the recreational players who count on that ball straightening itself out.
Sure.
You know, I was talking with Ken Green earlier on the show, and he said it's amazing what the ball will do. It rewards you even if you don't or shouldn't be rewarded for a shot.
That's right. And I think there's an argument both sides.
Yes.
You know, a good argument both ways.
Yes.
But, you know, professionals averaging 325 off the tee is just amazing these days.
Yeah. I think that also has to do with the club head and sure. all that bounce factor that they put into those. And even more important is, that shaft. You know, I mean, if you can buy a $900 shaft or a $9,000 shaft, that will give you this, you know, just the physics of it to catapult the ball forward. There's not a lot anybody can do about that. What are you going to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a big game. So, I was looking up, I was thinking, Director of Agronomy, Science of Soil Management and Crop Production. The soil in Hawaii often was kind of depleted by the sugar cane or big crop production. And I believe sugar cane was a big part of the plantation course past. So what do you do to keep that soil healthy?
We do soil testing twice a year, and that soil test is going to tell us what the soil is deficient in, whether that be calcium, whether that be phosphorus, or any of the other elements. And then we'll amend the soils with those nutrients, and that's really feeding the turf grass exactly what it needs. And that's sort of the science behind it. But you take the guesswork out of it, you do soil testing, and then you feed the soil what it needs.
Yeah. And why is the Bermuda so happy on any kind of soil?
Bermuda just thrives in this environment with warmer temperatures, with humidity. We average 70 inches of rain plantation course annually. Those factors, Bermuda is going to do pretty well in it, besides being shady. And we get a lot of cloud cover, and the Bermuda doesn't do well without sunlight, nor does any type of turf. But the Bermuda does do really well at Kapalua.
Yeah, it's happy. What did you put in? I can't remember the grass that's in instead of the Bermuda on the greens.
We actually have Ultradorf Bermuda grass. It's called Tiff Eagle.
It's Tiff Eagle.
So Tiff Eagle. So we have Bermuda throughout the entire property, just different species of Bermuda grass. And that's what I was referring to, that greens can get contaminated with a different type of Bermuda from somewhere else, like the fairways or the rough.
Right. I understand, because it's that Tiff Eagle that is so, you can varicut it. You can and then it becomes like a carpet. And those are amazing size greens.
They're massive. We average 7,500 square feet per green. We do have the tiny 14th green that's 2,300 square feet
the
on
tiny.
The short par four. So it's a tiny little green. but the majority of the property, you've got the seventh green that's close to 12,000 square feet. So a lot of work on the greens.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And a lot of the guys, does anybody, do any of the professionals ask you about the golf course and the greens?
They will.
What do they want to know? What do they want to know?
They want to know speeds. So they're used to playing on, you know, greens that are 12 to 13 each tournament. The PGA Tour does not allow us to get green speeds faster than 10 on the plantation for the event. And that's due to the undulations of those greens. That's due to the wind factor, the oscillating of the golf ball. So they're real protective of not getting them too fast. And then Mother Nature is just going to dictate the rest for you.
So the undulating greens and the fact that the wind can push them around, that's why it's 10 on the stimp meter and not 12 or 13 like it is regularly on the tour.
That's correct. There's so many severe slopes with those greens. And you know as well as I do, the wind blows a lot, particularly during that time of the year. So they're guarded with how fast we can get them.
Gee, that it would be kind of amusing for us, for those guys to have a tough time.
That's correct. And we'll see, you know, during normal play, if green speeds are 9.5 and the wind's blowing 25 miles per hour, you're talking about a long round of golf. And it can be frustrating for the average player.
Yeah, for the average player. But I was just thinking that when, you know, sometimes people don't want to see the professionals have a good time.
That's right.
They want
to see them struggle.
Yes, yes. And so I was thinking that 12 to 13 on the stimp meter, we would definitely see them struggle, maybe a little bit more than would actually be comfortable or even, you know, amusing.
That's right. But I think you're right. It'd be a lot of fun to see that.
So I'm not being too evil then, huh?
You're not being too evil. It's crossed my mind a time or two.
Okay, there you go. Okay, good. I'm not. Shoo. Do you ever get nervous about, you know, all these guys descending upon your golf course?
Certainly you think about it. Our team does a really good job leading into the event in preparation. Mother Nature really is the driving force that time of the year. It's probably the hardest time of the year to hold an event in Hawaii with Bermuda grass in January. We had 8.5 inches of rain last December leading into the event. So that made things pretty challenging with getting mowing heights exactly where you want them. Frequency of being able to mow or verticut to smooth greens out and things like that. So as with any professional event, Mother Nature reigns supreme.
Yeah, you know, and boy, we had, I'm not sure, David, were you here when the wind decided to, everywhere else it seemed like a beautiful day except on two holes, and it was the flag stick was, you know, parallel to the ground.
I was here, I want to say it was my third or fourth event, and we didn't get an actual round of golf in until that Monday.
Yeah. That was bizarre.
It was pretty bizarre. It was a little frustrating for the staff, being delayed or being canceled. But it was quite erratic that week.
Yeah, and somebody actually said, well, why don't we just play all the holes that aren't affected and leave those two out?
You do have a few holes that are completely exposed right there coming off of Honolulu Bay.
Yeah, it was really something. But I'm certainly hoping that the forecast. We're talking with David Smallwood, Director of Agronomy, Kapalua Golf Resort, home of the Century Tournament of Champions. It's going to be a little different. And have you been consulted about the new way they're going to deliver the spectators to the golf course? They're not going to go up to the top. They're going to come off kind of, is it by two? They're going to.
That's correct. So we're going to have some new entry areas, some new walkways for spectators. We have worked with tournament director Nancy Cross, who's been fantastic with us in the tour, about new spectator areas and concentrating a lot there on number two green, number eight green. We'll have seating. And then crosswalk will now be going across number nine. So we felt like that's just giving the spectator more of viewing areas right there in that spot.
As it gives, you know, it gives the spectators, they're like right in the midst of it rather than being on the edge of what's going on, right?
That's right. They're going to be walking up to number two green, obviously three tees right there, number nine tee, and then number eight green. So just right there in that vicinity, they'll have plenty to see.
That's awesome. So it's the Century Tournament of Champions, and I can't believe it's only like 60 days away. It's
pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy. And I know we need marshals, and I was talking to Nancy Cross last weekend. We need marshals, and we need drivers. And, of course, the vehicle is provided, so drivers and marshals. Marshals are people who just kind of, you know, herd the spectator about the golf course, answer questions, make sure that things are kept at a minimum noise-wise at the right times. And if you want to find out more, you just go – go to your computer and put Century Tournament of Champions in one of the bars, and it'll, boom, it'll be there, and it'll say Century Tournament of Champions, tickets, tournament info, plan your visit, history, volunteer. Then you just click on that. If you volunteer, you get a hat, you get a shirt, you get, tickets to go in, I believe it is. Don't quote me on that. I may be making it. I know it's for 3 days you get that. And then if you, for 4 or 5 days, you get a round of golf at Kapalua. So it's a whole bunch of fun. You meet a whole bunch of really cool people. And some people actually come over and make it their holiday. They make it their vacation. They do their vacation. They volunteer. They make it possible to have the Century Tournament of Champions here. And we raise a bunch of money for charity, for Maui Charities. It's a great event. David Smallwood, Director of Agronomy at Kapalua Golf Resort, thank you so much for making my show a part of your morning.
Well, thank you, Danielle, for having me on.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Ron Cyrek is going to join us. Tiger Woods is going to play in his tournament. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm kind of like, really? I mean, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be like, okay? Are we going to watch you snap hook it? Are you going to get over the pond? Is your back going to give out? Are you going to be limping? Are you going to take a... It's like, is it too soon? So he says his legs are coming back, his golf fitness is improving, his feet don't hurt as much. Can you imagine not being used to wearing golf shoes? Tiger Woods, not okay. He has to make some adjustments because of the way his spine's been fused. As for ball adjustments, he said something's got to be done about the ball. Because, and I think it has more to do with Tiger Woods being a golf course architect than it has to do with Tiger Woods being a golfer. Because, you know, he never complained about it when he could hit it longer than anybody else. And he could probably hit it pretty long right now. No problem, I guess, if he's going to play in the Hero World Challenge. I don't know. I'm really, if I could open the phone lines, I'd actually open the phone lines to find out what you think. Because I just feel really uncomfortable. I don't want him to get hurt. Yeah, wait. Or maybe not. We'll be back with Ron Cyrek. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. We're going to have a partly sunny day. And guess what? The trades are back. Ooh, yes, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Higher gusts possible. High today, 84 to 89. Kind of nice, yeah? With a little rain over the Moca areas, windward side. A little bit, they say, isolated showers leeward. I don't know. It looks splendidly, beautifully blue. And do I know whether they're going to close the freeways? No, that's been done already. President Trump is on his way to Asia. He left in the 7 o'clock hour, I believe it was. They were closing the freeways around 6:40 to get the president, POTUS, to the airport. That would be, of course, Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam, their airport, the big one. So that's what's happening in our world. If you'd like to play a round of golf, we've got a couple of tee times. And I'd like the Kingston Software Group to have a fabulous day at Poipu Bay. And you could, too. You could get gift cards. Yeah, it's that time, right? We got to start thinking about stuff like gift cards. Gifts. Good gift. Poipu Bay Golf Course. Kingston Software Group. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Makalei, there's a 1010. Volcano has a 1036. You can get there. There at Kapolei, there's an 1152. There was earlier. I mentioned this tea time. It may already be booked. There's also a 12 o'clock at Kapolei. Aroha Wine Country Club has a 936 and a 1020. And Makaha East has a 1030. And the Kahili Course, home of Claude Brousseau's Maui School of Golf. And Claude will be on Golf Channel Morning Drive. He's already in beautiful Orlando, Florida. I've never been there. I hope it's beautiful Orlando, Florida. A Kahili Golf Course has a 1038 and a 950 if you'd like to play. Wailea has a 936 and a 1029 and an 1141. The Emerald Course has a 1028 and an 1150. And Maui Nui has an 1138 if you'd like to go play a round of golf today. Always a good idea to get out and stretch your legs. Get your golf legs back. You haven't played in a while? See Tiger Woods. He's got to get his golf legs back. He's got to get his feet. I thought that was so funny. I'll mention that again while Ron's standing by. Yes, we're going to bring Ron Syrak. He is Golf Channel contributor, author of Vision 54 Trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, published in 8 languages. He's covered almost 160 majors, and I may have lost count. It could be 160 already. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. How was your round of golf? Did you play?
Yeah, it was a gorgeous fall day on Cape Cod. bright sunshine, temperature in the mid-50s. It's perfect weather.
Perfect weather to play around. Did you like your, you know, how do they say that when guys come off the course, when people are interviewing? What did you like about your game today?
The course fit my eye, that's what they like to say.
All right, well, that's good. I got to talk to you about a whole bunch of things that I was, you know, the LPGA is getting ready for the CME Race the Globe, the Tour Championship. There's two more events that we've got to play, and I'm looking at the LPGA Rolex Player of the Year, the Rolex Rookie of the Year, and the race to the CME Globe. And the points are so close together. Can we go straight to Rolex Rookie of the Year? Because I'm a little confused about what a rookie is on the LPGA Tour.
Well, Sung Hyun Park was not a member last year. You're a rookie the first year that you are a member of the tour. I believe I'm right on this. Sung Hyun Park's lead over Angel Yin, who's second in Rookie of the Year, is her lead is greater than the total number of points Angel Yin has.
That's correct.
So essentially, the Rookie of the Year race has been over since about July.
Exactly. You know, for folks who don't know this, if you think rookie, it doesn't mean that she's just come out of, the Symetra Tour. She's maybe, didn't Sung Hyun Park, didn't she play on the Cape LPGA for a long time?
Yeah, you know, every time that you get a new Korean pops up in the LPGA and you say, gee, I never heard of her. Then you do your research, you find out she's won 12 times.
Right.
And Sung Hyun Park should have won the Women's U.S. Open at Court of All last year. She needed a birdie on the final hole of par 5 to win, and she ended up making a bogey and missing out on the playoff. She hits the ball a long way. If you haven't had a chance, you got to see her swing. She's just got a gorgeous golf swing, generates an enormous amount of power with a really quick hip turn. And, you know, she hits the ball about 265, 270 out there.
It's really something. Her points are 1,483. Angel Yin is 687. And Nelly Korda, 523. All of them great players. But obviously, as you said, Ron Cyrak, Son Heung Park, was it July? The rookie of the year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Yes.
She has a chance now to do something that only Nancy Lopez has done, which is be Rookie of the Year and Player of the Year in the same season.
And there we go.
She's in second place in the Player of the Year points right now behind So-Yeon Yoo. And she actually has a chance. Nancy Lopez was Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, led the money list, and won the Bear Trophy for lowest scoring average. Sung-Yoon Park has a chance to do all of that and win the race at the CME Globe. So she could match Nancy and then one up her by doing something that didn't exist when Nancy was playing.
Truly, you just look at this and the LPGA's Rolex Player of the Year, So-Yeon Ryu is 162. Sung-Yoon Park is 148. So it's not that far. But then we see Lexi Thompson is 147. So this Rolex Player of the Year and the race, the CME Globe, the points are close, but Lexi is at 3,266 over So-Yoon Park's 3,029. Now, I don't know what the points are that they're going to be awarded in the next two events before the race. Can you break that down for us?
Well, for Player of the Year, you get 30 points for a first-place finish. And 16 points for a second place finish, 12 points for third, 9 for fourth, and then it goes 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So you got to finish in the top 10 to get a point. So Park is only 14 points behind So-Yoon Yoo. So next time out, if Park finishes second and Yoo doesn't finish in the top 10, then Park would pass her.
Wow.
So it's still very much up for grabs. And Lexi, with a win would get Lexi to 177 points, which would put her past So-Yoon Yoo. So it's really the three of them are in a very, very heated race with two events to go.
And with two events to go, and this is both for the race, the CME, and the Rolex Player of the Year.
Right.
Very, very exciting time on the LPGA. Do you recall a time like this?
Well, you know, it reminds me a lot of what the tour was like in sort of the 80s into the mid 90s, you know, where you had no one clear dominant player, but you had a lot of really, really good. You look at that era, and I think of that as one of the golden ages for the LPGA of Patty Sheehan, Amy Alcott, Betsy King, Beth Daniel, Dottie Pepper, just incredible depth of talent out there. And that's sort of what we have now. I'm fascinated. Both the PGA Tour and the LPGA are in similar places right now. You don't have the Tiger Woods or the Annika Sorenstam dominating the tour, but what you have is incredible rivalries between 6, 8, 10 players, all of whom have legitimate claims to be the number one player in the world.
Yes, yes, and it's interesting that all come to four, and then they kind of like not phase, but they just kind of like ebb.
Well,
they ebb, and then they come there. Then they rise up again. The tide—they're like tides. One is a full and winning and dominating, and then the next one, and then he kind of ebbs, and the next one comes. So we saw Jordan Spieth, then Dustin
right.
Johnson. Then it's really, really amazing to see all the action that's going on both of the tours. Really good insight from you, Ron Cyrak.
I think part of what makes, if you look at it, part of what made Jack Nicklaus special, Tiger Woods special, Annika Sorenstam special, is they forgot their wins as quickly as they forgot their losses. And when they won a tournament, they never rested on their laurels, and they went out the next week and played as if they had never won a tournament in their life. And they built win upon win upon win. And a lot of players don't do that, you know. The truly transcendent players realize that it's not a process that ever ends.
Yeah, you can't exhale.
Yeah, no, exactly. You just got to keep playing. I remember seeing Tiger at Bay Hill one year. He makes about a 20-foot birdie putt on the last hole to win the tournament. He throws his hat, he pumps his fist. And I went and I realized it was at that time his 64th career victory. I said, it's his 64th victory, and he's acting like he never won a tournament before in his life. That's part of what makes him special. Winning never got old to him.
Yeah. Okay. So did you just mention the Tiger Woods?
I think those words slipped out of my mouth.
Yes, okay, yep. The Tiger Woods. Okay, I started discussing the Tiger Woods a couple of minutes ago, right before you called in. And it's like, okay, a year ago he was coming back, and here he is. He's coming back. Hero World Challenge, he's going to play. And he's got his legs back. He's getting his legs back, he says. Golf shoes don't hurt his feet anymore. That's a real good thing. But I don't know. I'm excited and I'm fearful at the same time. It's a weird feeling knowing that he's going to play again. How are you feeling about this?
Well, you know, part of what makes him such a compelling person is you don't know what to expect. You just really don't know what to expect. The one thing that everybody's got to keep in mind, and maybe the public has to be as patient as Tiger's going to need to be, is that no 42-year-old athlete ever becomes 24 years old again. And Tiger's going to be 42 in about a month. And the fact is that it's been almost a decade since he won his last major championship, almost 5 years since he won his last tournament of any kind. And he's had a perfect storm of challenges thrown at him, physical issues, technical issues, emotional issues, confidence issues. He's got a lot to come back from. And I think that health is going to be just part of what we're going to try to figure out when he plays again. We're going to see if he's healthy. We're going to see how his technique is. But we're also going to see what the state of his mind is and whether he's really got that focus that he had when he was the full Tiger.
You know, when I think of Tiger Woods playing with the guys, like three or four guys, and there are just a playing partner he likes to play with. I don't know who that would be, but somebody. And he gets to go out there and he gets to dominate that group. That's I can see how he would impress people and he would be able to hold on to that group. I don't know that he has what you said exactly, the confidence to be able to dominate a larger group.
I'll tell you, Danielle, another challenge that he faces here too is that you start looking at who the best players are in men's golf right now, of Justin Thomas and Daniel Berger and John Rahm and Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Rory McIlroy. Those guys are in their 20s. They've never really seen the full Tiger Woods. They're not afraid of him. They're not intimidated by him. I saw Tiger Woods intimidate an entire generation of players, psychologically discombobulate an entire generation of players. I would include Sergio Garcia among them, Ernie Els among them, players who you could tell that they knew if Tiger had his A game, they were playing for second place. There's nobody out on tour right now, none of those top players, who feel that way about Tiger, because they have not had to go up against him when he was the full Tiger Woods.
Yeah, there's that. You know, then I think about a misstep and seeing him grab his back again. You know, Mom, Danielle, it is what it is. He's going to go out and try it. It just seems soon after... After everything, it just seems very, very soon. It was a major operation, fusing the way it was fused, the angle that they went in. But if the doctors say he's good to go, then he's good to go, and he's got to figure it out.
He's come back from injury too soon in the past. He's given it a little more time this time. I still don't, honestly, Danielle, other than the fact that he's coming back at his tournament, and that's going to be a comfortable sort of home game for him and a relaxed atmosphere with only 18 players in the field, I don't understand why he's not taking a few more months off and start aiming for a return, when the tour gets back to Florida next March, and then he could have enough time to play enough tournaments to get ready to play the Masters.
Yeah.
But I think it would, in my mind, it would be better if he takes a few more months and really make sure that he's healthy.
Yeah, that's exactly. We're of the same mind on that one. And I just saw, you know, that Jason Day, when you talk about never thinking that you've, you know, the 64th win is just important as the first win, and that's what propels you forward to win as, you know, 81 times or however many times you can win, and then that's still, you need, still need to win. He still needs to win. He still needs to go out. He still wants to get 18 majors. He still has a passion and a dream and a commitment to himself and to the game and to what he wanted to do. That doesn't go away. You just don't say, oh, I'm done. Not when you're Tiger Woods. But Jason Day is expecting his third child. Isn't that great? And he's not going to play. It seems like Jason's made a lot of money. He's very comfortable. He has his family. And that's become his priority. Your thoughts on Jason Day?
Well, first off, I think that there's something in here that we're going to be seeing more and more in all sports, which is that athletes realizing that there are other things besides the sport that they play. And there's so much money to be made in sports now that you can be financially comfortable and financially well off before you're 30 years old. And maybe you don't have to go out there and keep grinding. You know, I know that a big part of what affected Annika Sorenstam's decision to retire, 2007, she had a neck injury. She had to take time off. And when she took that time off, it, for the first time in her life, she realized how hard she had to work to be the best player in the world. That in addition to practicing every day and the competitive schedule, there was her workout schedule and corporate responsibilities and all that stuff. And I knew when she decided she was going to have a kid, she wasn't going to do both. She was going to focus. She's going to take all that energy that she put into being the best golfer on the planet, and she was going to make that. She's going to put that energy into being the best mom on the planet, and a best businesswoman on the planet. And you know, I think that more and more we're going to see athletes. You know, Christy Kerr just won at the age of 40, and Kari Webb's still playing out there in her 40s, and Julie Inkster's 57 and still out there. I don't know if we're going to see that with any of these young kids. You know, I don't know if we're going to see 20, 30-year careers from some of these kids because
when you bank,
they get financially well off and they get other interests.
And when you bank $30 million,
yep.
You know, yeah. How about Lydia Ko? She's made all the changes. We keep saying that. What do you see for Lydia?
It looks like she's getting closer. It looks like she's getting better. But, you know, she's at that point right now where she can't put together four really solid rounds in a row. She's put together three. She's scared the leaderboard a little bit. But I keep waiting for all the pieces to fall into place because I like everything about her. Particularly her mental attitude. You know, we talked about it early in the season. She went through a zillion changes this year: equipment company, coach, caddy, and it's hard when you change everything to get everything back working. I expect her to get it back, but it stuns me that Christy Kerr's won two tournaments this year and Lydia Ko's won none.
Yeah,
I would have lost that bet at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, truly. I mean, I think a lot of people would have lost that bet. And then we have Stacey Lewis. Yay, Stacey won. Was it winning for Houston?
Yeah, you know, I think that she's a woman of enormous heart, just absolutely enormous heart. And I do think that a big part of the reason why she went so many years and without winning a tournament, went almost more than 3 years, was because of how much work she puts in to women's golf and women's issues in general. She, you know, I'm not sure the KPMG Women's PGA Championship happens without Stacey Lewis.
Wow.
Because she's a KPMG endorsement partner. And she, I know she worked really hard to not only get the PGA of America and KPMG involved in that tournament, but getting network television on the weekend rounds, having it go to world-class venues, having a women's empowerment conference be part of the tournament. Stacey was really put a lot of effort into that. And I think in some ways, you know, all that other stuff, the off the golf course stuff, might have distracted a little bit. But boy, when she announced that she was going to give whatever she won in the Portland tournament to the Houston Relief, and then went out and ended her losing streak that week. That was an astounding thing, and it showed you a lot about what she's all about.
Exactly. It was really something. Everybody was pulling. It was like everybody's energy was on Stacey, and we find her, you know, a fifth right now in the Shen Shen Feng, Aya Suzuki, Charlie Hull, Min Hyung Lee, Stacey Lewis, Anna Nordqvist, Lizette Salas, all at the top of the leaderboard with one more round to go, I believe it is. Time zones, you know. The next is the Blue Bay LPGA, a Saturday finish at Hainan in China. Then we've got the CME Tournament Championship in Naples, Florida. Before we close, we have like a minute or so. The Charles Schwab Cup Championship. Bernard Langer. What are you going to, would you put money on Bernard?
I'll tell you what, I'm not entirely sure Bernard Langer is getting the credit he deserves for what he's accomplished on the senior tour, in Champions Tour golf. It's absolutely remarkable that you keep waiting for him to get, you know, look, the senior tour is the only professional sport where being a rookie is an advantage because you're the youngest person out there, you know, and these other guys keep coming along and Bernard keeps dominating. what he's done is phenomenal. And no, you can't bet against him.
No, it's phenomenal. Bernard Langer leads the money list. 21 events, $3,622,359. Scott McCarron is second, but he had 25 events. So, and he's won twice now in going towards the, you know, the final Charles Schwab Cup Championship, which is next weekend. So, we'll all be watching Bernard Langer. Thank you so much, Ron Syrak, a Golf Channel contributor, author of the Vision 54 trilogy, PJ Lifetime Achievement in Journalism. I wanted to ask you, have you decided what book you're going to write? But I don't know.
I got some ideas I'm working on.
Okay.
You'll be the first to know.
Oh, good.
On your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Ron.
All right.
Aloha.
Talk to you later, Daniel.
Thanks.
Aloha.
Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, author, Vision 54 trilogy, a great trilogy. You should look into getting that for someone that you love. PGA Lifetime Achievement in Journalism. David Smallwood, director of Agronomy Plantation Course, home of the Century Tournament of Champions. Century Tournament of Champions, just Google that and you'll go and you'll see that they need marshals and drivers. It actually doesn't say that, but it says volunteers. Volunteers are needed because you can't put on a tournament without volunteers. You just couldn't afford to. Diana DeLucia, CEO, Golf Kitchen, Golf Kitchen Magazine. What a dream, what a passion this woman has made come to fruition. And Ken Green, five-time PGA Tour winner. He's won 11 times. And his book coming up is I'll Try Again Tomorrow. Thank you to the people who make this show possible. I couldn't do it without you, Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project into artwork. Natural stone specializing in Brazilian quartzite flagstone, AquaPave on-site stormwater source control systems. We need that, right? Interlocking concrete pavers, Roman stack walls, beauty functionality. It's all within Futura Stone. Only the best. Creative Plumbing. I couldn't do it without you. Whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, a new build, a renovation, it doesn't matter if it's a repair. Just call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. You got to keep the water in the pipes. And you want it to all be very pretty and tight. That's Creative Plumbing, serving Hawaii for over 40 years. Rainer Doors, the Rainer Doors, yes, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. I'm telling you, if Lamborghini trusts a Rainer door, then you should get a Rainer door for your home, for your business, providing lasting security and safety for your family, for your business. Rainer Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. That's right. Give Rainer Doors a call. The number is 647-2056. And Claude Brousseau, yes, he's going to be on Golf Channel. We're so proud of him. And his new book is out now. It is called Realizing Your Golfing Potential. Realize Your Golfing Potential. You can find his book at MauiSchoolOfGolf.com. Thank you for your mana. You can always hear the show at RadioGolfClub.com. We keep it there. It's archived there. You can get it at iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher. You can get it anywhere that you get your, you know, podcasts, your favorite location. It's The Golf Club. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.